turn the music down. Welcome into Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park, and welcome back to the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. This is a Vikings Entertainment and Mike Harris production. We're glad you're joining us. I'm back with you, fresh off a trip to the Deep South in Mobile, Alabama, where I accompanied Leslie Frazier and the Vikings coaching staff to the 2012 Senior Bowl. Leslie and his staff coached the North team. They went against the South team, which was coached by Mike Shanahan, and the Washington Redskins staff and the Vikings and the North team come away with a victory 23-13 at Ladd Peebles Stadium down in Mobile. It was a fun experience. We're going to talk more about that later in the Wobcast, and we're going to get into stadium discussion in the middle of the Wobcast with Lester Bagley, the Vikings Vice President of Stadium Development and Public Affairs. He's going to join us in a little bit, but before we get to all that, I want to talk about the Super Bowl, which is coming up on Sunday. Obviously a great matchup, as you know, between the Giants and the Patriots, and it's filled with a bunch of great storylines. Rematches from the regular season. These two teams played each other earlier in the year. A rematch of the Super Bowl after the 2007 season. Brady and Belichick trying to win their fourth Super Bowl together. Coughlin and Eli trying to win number two together. Peyton Manning's arch rival, Tom Brady, going against Peyton Manning's little brother, Eli, in the house that Peyton built, Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana. That's a cool storyline as Peyton's NFL career sort of hangs in the balance as he deals with that neck injury. Speaking of injuries, Rob Gronkowski, New England's awesome tight end, dealing with a bad ankle injury. The Giants star wide receiver Hakeem Nicks dealing with a shoulder injury. Will they play? The Giants pass rush against Tom Brady, the emergence of Victor Cruz, and the list just goes on and on. Great storylines in this game, and it'll be a great game. But the one storyline that I want to touch on briefly here before we get into stadium talk is the coaches in this game, Bill Belichick and Tom Coughlin. Obviously, a couple of great coaches who are very well known, and I have an appreciation for both coaches. I like the way both of them conduct their teams and conduct their business, the things that they value, good defense, taking care of the ball, good quarterback play. You know, both these guys are from the Bill Parcells coaching tree. In fact, they were both on the same Bill Parcells staff at one time, and here they meet in the Super Bowl for the second time in 5 years. And really, when you look at this game, it's an important game because it's the Super Bowl, but it's an important game because it really will help the winner build a legacy. Bill Belichick already has a great legacy. He's going to go down as one of the best coaches of all time. If he wins this Super Bowl, it'll be his fourth. It will just add to that legacy. It'll further cement that legacy. He's going to go into the Hall of Fame at some point. Tom Coughlin, this would be his second Super Bowl win in a big city like New York City where he's coaching the Giants. Obviously a storied franchise with deep history, deep tradition. He would be a multi-time Super Bowl winner. He'd win his second here with Eli Manning, and this would be a huge game for his legacy. And you consider people calling for his job multiple times during his stint as Giants coach. Even this year, before this year and during this year, the Giants lost 4 games in a row. Some people thought he wouldn't be back. Here he is in the Super Bowl getting ready to coach against Bill Belichick. And I think it's a cool storyline. I have an appreciation and an admiration for both coaches. One of them is going to win, and I'm going to be happy for either one of them. I think it's going to add to their legacy, and it's a credit. Both guys are a credit to the NFL. And we can't talk about the Super Bowl or finish talking about the Super Bowl without a prediction. Actually, the New England Patriots are favored, but I kind of feel like the Patriots have an underdog mentality. A lot of people picking the Giants to win this game. I think it's going to be New England who ultimately wins this game. Brady and Belichick in a big spot. I just don't foresee us on the Monday after this Super Bowl talking about how Brady and Belichick were once again duped by Eli and Tom Coughlin. I have a great respect for the Giants, for Eli, and for Tom Coughlin, but I think Brady and Belichick prevail in a big spot. The only result that would surprise me, there's two of them, two results that would surprise me. If one of these teams wins in a blowout, I think that would be a little bit surprising because of how solid both these teams are and how well they're playing. And if this was a really low-scoring game, like a 10-7 or a 17-10, that would be a little bit surprising. I think both these offenses can explode, and I think they will. They're playing indoors at Lucas Oil Stadium, a controlled environment. So I think it's going to be a mid- to high-scoring game, and I think the Patriots will end up winning. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick win their fourth Super Bowl together, and the dynasty lives on. So we're going to transition from this upcoming Super Bowl to a future Super Bowl, which we hope there will be one in Minnesota. In order to get that done, we have to get our ducks in a row and build a stadium here in the great state of Minnesota. And the man largely responsible on the Vikings end for getting that task accomplished is Lester Bagley, our Vice President of Public Affairs and Stadium Development. He steps into the Wobcast and joins us now. And Lester is the pride of Barron, Wisconsin. And there's the latest site, too. Did you hear that?
Barron, Wisconsin. Wow, another site.
Barron, Wisconsin is going to enter the running. So I have a Barron, Wisconsin native in the room with me, and I also have someone who went to college in Wisconsin. I'm a little bit uncomfortable. There's too much of it here.
That's all right. We were good people in Wisconsin.
All right. That's what I heard. Let's talk about the stadium. Give us an update on the stadium issue. I get asked a question all the time, and all I do is give a vague answer because I don't know the details. So what's the update on the stadium? Maybe go through site by site because there are so many that are in the cycle here.
Yeah, it's follow the bouncing ball. It is shifting, you know, daily on the issue, and so it's you know, a lot of people are following the issue, so I appreciate the chance to give you an update. Yeah, the sites, as you know, we stepped up with the directive we got, get a local partner, an ideal site, and bring it forward. We brought the Arden Hills site with the Ramsey County as a partner, significant team contribution, significant local contribution. But that site has run into trouble, not because of the site, but because of the financing. So the concern with that site is that that it may not be achievable at the Capitol because it's a tax increase.
Okay.
So we've evolved to Minneapolis, and we looked at the Linden Avenue site, which is adjacent to the Basilica of St. Mary. And there were some concerns. That site was delivered to us. We looked at it, and we said, okay, this actually has some upside with parking and tailgating and marketing opportunities that aren't present at the Dome. Plus, we wouldn't have to play 3 years at Gopher Stadium while we get it ready. So we liked the Linden Avenue site, and we sat down ready to roll up our sleeves and do a deal, if we can get to a deal, and we were told, oops, sorry, that site's not available. So that really the governor has told us that the only site that is viable in the short term, meaning this session, is the Metrodome site. So we've come back full circle to a site where we currently play our games.
Okay, now speaking of that, I look in the clips in the newspaper today, and there's another site that you didn't just mention that's close to the current site, and I think it's a little bit east of the Metrodome.
Right.
That just came up, so what's the update on that one?
Well, we have played 30 years at the Dome site. The Wilfs own property near the Dome. We have an understanding of what the real estate situation is around there. We've looked at it before, this opportunity. Is there a way to build next to the Metrodome where you don't have to go three seasons at TCF Bank, build next to the Metrodome, and then when the stadium's ready, tear down the Dome. That would be ideal. A number of communities have done it that way. But that would require a footprint suitable for an NFL stadium. Star Tribune doesn't work because it's too narrow with the light rail on one side and the historic buildings on the other. But there's this other site or potential site east of the Dome. Again, we've looked at it as back as far as 2007, 2008. We've looked at it. But there's significant costs involved in Xcel Energy substation. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is it's someone plopped down a drawing of a stadium on a map and said, look, a stadium could fit here. And we've looked at it before. Now we're, you know, doing the due diligence to see there is going to be a cost of doing that if it were doable. And so then we'd compare the cost between 3 years at the Dome, which is about $50 right. million dollars, versus, you know, what it would cost to move that substation or build around it or whatever you have to do. So long answer to the complicated question, but it is we're getting to the bottom of it as quickly as we can.
All right. Now, Vikings Vice President of Public Affairs and Stadium Development, Lester Bagley, is the guest on today's Wobcast. I'm going to put the cart before the horse, though, on a quick aside. Put yourself in a hypothetical situation where we get approval for a site and a stadium. What about the roof? Because that's a huge topic right. for fans,
sure.
And they're opinionated about it, and the opinions are all over the place. Is it right. fixed, retractable, open air? What do
right.
you think?
Well, you know, as you know, we started this conversation first with, we don't need a roof. The Bears, the Packers don't have one in the northern climate. Our fans, we'd find a way to keep them protected from the elements, if you will, with an open air stadium. But the governor and legislative leaders have basically said this needs to be a people stadium, needs to be opened year-round for all sorts of events. That means baseball in March, and therefore it requires a roof or a retractable roof. And our view is if we're going to go this far, this deep, and put this much energy and money into this project, that it should be the ultimate. It should be a 21st century building, something special, not just a redo of the Dome, but a special building with a retractable roof where we could get Major League Soccer and other events. Yeah. But that would be our goal, but we're only one of the three parties into the discussion right now, meaning the state and local partner too.
You look at a place like Lucas Oil Stadium where the Super Bowl is going to be.
Right.
That's what you're talking about, right?
Exactly.
A 21st century building.
Right.
But then there are also really cool environments like Tennessee and Pittsburgh where we've been to recently that are open air.
Right.
Those are cool environments
Absolutely.
Too. There's a lot of
Seattle.
Different ways to do it.
Yep.
Seattle, another great example. I like to come up into your hallway every now and then and talk with you or Jeff Anderson, and the lights are off and your office is dark. That means you're at the Capitol.
Right.
That's where a lot of business gets done. So what's going on there?
Well, we're just there this morning, and we're working hard with the governor and legislative leaders. The good news is there is an appetite, there is momentum, there is a willingness to take this issue on this year. We finally have the right sort of dynamic at the Capitol. Let's mm-hmm. take this issue on. So what we're trying to do is put the package together. This process that people get frustrated with, but it's a process as we're funneling down to put a package that not only would build a great stadium, but also has to get the votes to pass the legislature. And that's what we're working on, that package that builds that stadium and gets those votes. So that's what we're working on right now.
Okay. Governor Dayton, again, Vikings Vice President of Public Affairs and Stadium Development, Lester Bagley, the guest. Let's look at Governor Dayton. At election time, he was characterized as one who would be stadium friendly when he was elected.
Right.
But here we are a couple years later, we don't have a stadium.
Right.
So in your view, is Governor Dayton still a stadium ally in the Vikings' view, or how do you characterize him now?
Yeah, I think he's doing everything okay. possible that he can do. And I know one thing is that we don't get this done without the governor in the corner of a solution. And this governor has been very strong to get, an advocate of let's get this done, even during the election, as you noted, but also since he's been elected. So this is his second session. He can't do it, get it done unless there's a legislative package that we're trying to put together right now with that site, with that stadium design, and with the financing package, which is we think is going to be in the next 10 days or thereabouts. We should have that package ready for the legislature to consider.
So we've got the Vikings working on this at Winter Park. We have lawmakers at the state capitol. We have the governor. How about the NFL? Are you getting heat from the NFL? Does the NFL come in and have any influence? What's their role in this?
Well, the NFL is very engaged in this discussion. We have not only is Commissioner Roger Goodell in direct contact with the governor, the business leadership, legislative leaders, as well as our owners and our organization. So the commissioner is directly engaged. The staff is very much engaged. Right now, there's got some experts at the league level that have done a number of stadium finance deals throughout the NFL. Mm-hmm. So these guys know how to help close a deal, and that we're at the point now where we need to close this deal and figure out that site. How much are we putting in? How much is the state putting in? How much is the local partner putting in? And how do you get that process to a deal is where the league can really help. And also to dangle a Super Bowl, because if we can get this done like Indianapolis, we should be able to have a Super Bowl here. And so there's some public relations support as well as the hard work of the stadium finance package and the lobbying that the commissioner is doing directly.
But and that's a real incentive, though. I mean, Detroit has hosted two Super Bowls. Indianapolis is hosting one. New York, all cold weather cities. Minneapolis, a cold weather city. Minneapolis hosted a Super Bowl.
Right.
That's not just something they're saying to get it done and then they pull that away. That's a real incentive.
Right. The NFL has changed the way they award Super Bowls. Now they have a package over 3 or 4 years where they alternate between warm weather or resort communities with the communities that have solved stadium issues. So it's a reward for communities because this is not easy and it requires a lot of work and energy and money at the state and local level. And so as a reward, the NFL is now bringing Super Bowls out to these cities, and we would definitely be in line for one, which, it means anywhere from $150 to $350 million in economic impact from one event, depending on which study you look at. But they do these studies every year, and they're in that range of impact by having the whole world watching and the impact of having the corporate leaders in your city.
Yeah, that would be awesome to have. I mean, there are people who oppose the stadium, but once the stadium is built, and we saw this with the Twins,
absolutely,
all of a sudden everyone likes the stadium once it's built, and I think that would happen here too. A couple of really quick ones to close with Lester Bagley, Vikings Vice President of Public Affairs and Stadium Development. How about the public? How about your Vikings fan who comes onto our website and is listening to this? Has this issue and discussion advanced to the point where now it's over their head, or is there still something they can do at a grassroots level to help?
Yeah, and our fans have been great, and it's they're following the bouncing ball because this is a lot of changes in the last several months and weeks about how this thing has evolved. But yeah, our fans have been great. We need them in the short term. For Super Bowl Sunday, we're putting together stadium huddles, and we've asked our fans to host an event, or friends and family, if you got some folks coming over to your house for the game, that, you know, check into Vikings.com and go to the stadium page and find out how you can put a stadium huddle together to get information out, get a petition, get people to weigh in. As soon as we have that legislation and the bill that we can stand up and say, here it is, here's the site, here's the plan, it's going to be all hands on deck, and our fans are going to have to pour it on. Right now, we're still in the gathering and organizing phase. Super Bowl Sunday will be important for that.
Awesome. All right. Speaking of Super Bowl Sunday, who's going to win the game? I'm not letting you leave with until you say. So who wins the game?
I saw the camel in New Jersey picked the Giants, so I'm okay. That's a tough to top. I think I'm going with the Giants.
And I think Mr. Wilf, probably the whole Wilf family, they might have a little sentimental attachment, right? They're probably rooting for the Giants.
I would think, but I think most of us will root for the NFC team unless there's a special situation, but should be a good game, and we'll look forward to getting there ourselves soon.
Yes, maybe in Minnesota.
Absolutely.
We root for the NFC team unless it's like last year in the Packers.
Correct. Right?
Then we don't. So, all right, we'll let you go. Go build us a
Very
stadium,
good.
Please.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks for joining us. Before we get going, I want to talk about the Senior Bowl. I just returned. It's held in Mobile, Alabama every season, and it's a huge deal for that community. The culture of college football in the Deep South is really cool. Coming from a guy such as me who's lived in the North, lived in Minnesota my entire life, to go down to Alabama and notice how important college football is to those people was a really great experience. The coolest part of all, arriving at Ladd Peebles Stadium in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl on Saturday afternoon, thousands of people already in the parking lot. There's campers, there's RVs, there's tents, there's tailgating already set up, the smoke from the grills filling the air, people excited to watch players get off the bus, not the NFL coaches. The people down there were gracious hosts and were very nice to us, but they didn't really care that we were from the NFL. Those people came to watch the college football players, to get a glimpse of them coming off the bus, to get an autograph in the hotel lobby, and to see that culture was really an eye-opening experience for me. And for Minnesotans to relate to it, it's kind of like the passion that Minnesotans have for hockey here in the state of hockey, except I'd even say it's on a larger scale down in the Deep South, and college football is just a huge deal there. So it was really a great experience for me. And the best moment really was arriving at the stadium before the game and watching that atmosphere. And I just can't help but think, here in Minnesota, Vikings fans deserve to have an atmosphere like that, a new stadium where they can tailgate and make game day a full day experience rather than just going to the game for 3 hours and going back home and battling traffic. You come early in the morning, you tailgate, you eat and you drink, you get amped up for the game, you watch the game, you come back out to the parking lot after the game, you celebrate a win with your friends and family that you've brought with you to the game, and then you go home. It's a full day event. That's what the Senior Bowl was, and it was an eye-opening experience for me. The worst moment, some of the travel accommodations. The hotel was really nice. My flight got in on time, but a tiny plane from Atlanta to Mobile, the guy in front of me leaning back in his seat and clomping on me. I just don't understand why people think they can lean back on an airplane. I mean, we all have limited space to begin with, and now you're leaning back in your seat. I think we need to get rid of the little buttons on the side that you're allowed to recline, because I think it's inconsiderate. That was so annoying. The South team was the more talented team, actually. Mike Shanahan's team was more talented, I thought. No disrespect to the North players, but Leslie Frazier and his staff coached the heck out of those players, got them to play well, and the North ends up beating the South. It was a pretty big upset in my eyes. And the crowd at Ladd Peebles Stadium was obviously favoring the South because most of those people are from the South. The University of Alabama players, they have two first-round linebackers. Both of them played in this game, and they won the national title, so they got a big round of applause during the starting lineups. But the North comes in there and gets a quick victory. It was fun to see. I couldn't have come away from Senior Bowl week more impressed with South defensive end Quinton Coples out of the University of North Carolina, a monster at 6'6", 280-some pounds, played really well in practice, had a pretty good game, a guy I didn't know a lot about before the Senior Bowl, but now I do. I'm going to pay attention to him. I think he's going to go in the first half of the first round, and I got to be honest with you and say if the Vikings ended up taking him at some point in the first round, I wouldn't be disappointed. I think he's going to be one of the best players that comes out of this draft, and any team that gets him, they're going to be instantly better on the defensive line. A couple other players really quickly before we go that impressed me. Defensive end Cam Johnson from the University of Virginia. He played on the North team, had a great week of practice. He's listed as a linebacker, but the Vikings staff had him at defensive end. I think he's got some pass rushing techniques and some pass rushing skills that will translate well to the NFL. He had a really good week, a really good kid, well-spoken. Brian Quick, a wide receiver from Appalachian State, can leap really well. That's one thing I noticed about him in practice. He's a great leaper, pretty good speed, has to learn the game a little bit better. He's raw. He's from a small school. But look at a guy like Greg Jennings for the Packers. He's from a small MAC school. I think it worked out for him. I like the idea of a mid-round small school wide receiver. Brian Quick is a name to remember. He could be a guy that the Vikings or some NFL team picks up in the mid-rounds, third, fourth, fifth round, and the guy ends up being a Pro Bowler at some point in his career. Lastly, we can't leave out the kickers. We had a kicker on the North team named Carson Wiggs from the University of Purdue. Worked with Mike Prefer and Chris White, our special teams coaches, all week long. Really impressed me. I don't know if you should use a draft pick on a kicker. There have been times where it's really worked out for teams. Carson Wiggs looks like he's worthy of a draft pick, a sixth or a seventh round pick maybe. We have Ryan Longwell, who's very steady, but at some point Ryan's going to retire. When he does, the Vikings want to be ready, and Carson Wiggs looks like a kicker with some potential. Really big leg, was accurate all week, and I was impressed with him. That's enough Senior Bowl talk, that's enough Super Bowl talk, and enough stadium talk. Thanks for joining us on the Wobcast. That is it for us today. I'm Mike Wobshaw. Thanks again for listening. We'll leave you with a hit from Starship, We Built This City. Take it away.